Hello, my imaginary friends, SM2N here. It's Friday, must be the 16th of January 2015. This is my audio blog. Apologies for the background noise, I'm driving to work at the moment. But then you're kind of used to that, aren't you, from me? I wanted to chime in on a conversation that, that's been going on, initially triggered by RT UK going to her New Media Europe Expo thing, and but continued by Paul Hopkins talking about memories of podcasting and sort of backstory of podcasting for us individuals and monetizing and stuff like that. Paul, I know that someone else, at least Chris Pilgrim has talked about it, but I haven't listened to his boo yet. But I wanted to reply to Paul Hopkins, because I've got a bit of a history and a bit of an opinion on this. So as Paul said, podcasting as a technology and a delivery mechanism was developed in 2004, at the back end of 2004, it became there was some publicity around it, and so over the Christmas holidays 2004, I found out about it and started listening to Adam Curry. Started getting interested in I was listening to Adam Christensen doing the Maccast, because I was very interested in my Macintosh computers at the time, so it's good to hear him podcasting about stuff to do with Macintosh computers. Early in 2005, so this is 10 years ago, January 2005, and here we are, January 2015, 10 years exactly. A bit like Paul Hopkins, I kind of saw this was going on and felt I could do something here. I've got some audio recording equipment and stuff and microphones and because I've been playing with dabbling with music before that point, so I had the equipment there, and I thought, well, this is fun, and so I started dabbling and sending things in to Adam Christensen and try to have a bit of fun, and then I launched my first proper podcast in April, 1st of April 2005, and it was called the Slam Idol Podcast. It was a poetry-based podcast. It was sort of slam poetry, and I was basically trying to take the concept of a poetry slam, which is a live performance poetry kind of contest, and try and do something with that idea in a podcast. So when the podcast con came around in, I think it was in September 2005, I went to that as, you know, somebody who was not completely unknown in the UK podcasting scene, which was great. And again, you know, to go again in 2006. It was a time of possibilities and people perhaps naively, or maybe it wasn't naive at the time, but in retrospect it looks maybe naive. You know, people thought that they could produce output like radio and maybe make some money off of it, that like radio broadcasters have a business model that makes the money. kind of, it seemed like it was a possibility at the time. And various companies tried to make that happen. Podshow, Mevio, which Paul mentioned, and Libsyn. And there was that. There was another big podcasting platform that the founders of Twitter ended up originally produced. I can't remember what it was now. It was all very purple and magenta type colour stuff. I can't remember what it was now, what it was called. But yeah, that didn't go very far, and they ended up closing that company down and creating Twitter. So yeah, various companies tried to sort of take that vision forward, and but it was a time when there wasn't, you know, there wasn't the same social networking and social media platform that we know today. It just didn't exist. There was Facebook, there was MySpace. That was about it, really. YouTube was founded in February of 2005, I think it was. YouTube was founded at that time. That, you know, so YouTube was completely nobody knew what YouTube was, and I think the untapped kind of creativity that people had, and all the people that were attracted towards podcasting in 2004, 2005. There weren't really any other outlets for their creative impulses, and that includes me. We didn't have YouTube, we didn't have Twitter. Facebook was much more limited in its functionality compared to what it is today, and we didn't have smartphones, and we barely had iPods at that point, didn't we, really? So, but it really was—it was a product of the environment that was there. So there was no YouTube. There was very little on Facebook. There was no Twitter. And what we had was these iPods and some other MP3 players that were floating around. And you didn't have—they weren't connected all the time. They were only connected when you were at home, so you could charge them up with content overnight and then take them with you and listen in the day on your commute and stuff like that. So it was very much a technology that fitted that time, and so much has moved on, and you know, social media became the overarching concept, and that became the method by which people could satisfy their innate instincts to share stuff, share videos, share audio, share photos. And that's why it's a new media expo, isn't it? Because it's about social media, and it's about upstart technologies that may still potentially be in competition with old media. But I think Paul's right when he says that podcasting in and of itself can't necessarily be monetized. It's usually as a part of something else, something bigger. It's usually used as a method of promoting something else that makes money. So in that sense, it's more like advertising than sort of old media content where people will pay money to watch a program or listen to a program or whatever. And you know, even the most successful podcasting monetization platform, I think, was Mevio, originally called Podshow. And I was a part of that. I was one of the producers in there. I made some money from being a part of that. My content was out there, and advertising space was sold against it, and it was used to promote affiliate marketing promo codes and stuff, and that made some money. But what I found was that in order to make any money with those methods, you couldn't just concentrate on being a really good podcaster and recording really good, interesting stuff. You had to spend time doing other stuff to promote your affiliate marketing codes and things like that. You had to do other stuff to make the money. Not really. You weren't really making the money out of the podcast. So, even then, in, 2007, I guess that was, that I signed up for Podshow. Through till, 2009, 2010. What I found a lot more rewarding was the more personal stuff that I did. So, in July 2005, I did an audio blog entry about the London bombings. And that was me putting myself out there, and that was, you know, it was played on the radio and stuff like that. But that was more fulfilling, I think, and that was an audio blog, so. The sort of social media that we know today and enjoy, that was kind of my first taste of all of that, really. Interviewing Stephen Fry for the Slam Idol podcast, that was really exciting. That was October 2005. Some highlights, really. Highlights for me, but it was when audiobook came along in 2009 that audio blogging really became easy and enjoyable. The social media sharing stuff that we have with our smartphones and tablets and connected devices, to me is just completely outgrown and overshadowed podcasting as a technology, which was just a technology that's part of that big picture. So yeah, that's why for me it's, you know, new media is a great way of putting it, because you have to be completely cross media, cross platform savvy to make a success of these things. And we're seeing a lot of stuff about that in bloggers are being picked up and sponsored by big brands now. It's like 10 years down the road from when blogging started off and podcasting started off and YouTube started. It's now becoming something that can be picked up and endorsed by mainstream brands. So it's like there's reached some kind of maturity there. I think there's some really big YouTube channels. I mean, YouTube has been the winner, and the vast population have always found video more attractive than audio. And I remember when video podcasting was first mooted, how excited everyone was about that. YouTube has been the clear winner. And with a lot more connected devices these days, you know, the whole necessity of having an RSS feed so you could download the content overnight and stuff, it's just not relevant anymore, because more and more we are connected all the time. So YouTube's been the winner, and there've been some really big YouTube. There's a young woman on YouTube. I can't remember her name now, but she had a book out at Christmas, and so she's making money out of it. And once again, video kills the radio star. And I think, you know, if you're a member of the VI community, that must be really frustrating. Because it's clear from the stuff that Paul was playing on his retrospective, he's been harvesting and capturing brilliant audio content for many years before podcasting was invented, and he was able to then share it in that medium once it arrived. So it's great with platforms like Audioboo that will continue. It's going to be the platforms that make the money, not the individual. Apart from a few superstars. Maybe it's like, maybe it's like the music industry in the 1960s or whatever, 1950s and 60s. It was the music companies that were making the money, and just a few stars that made a fortune out of music. Maybe, you know, new media's like that as well, and blogging and stuff. Perhaps 10 years down the line from the formation of YouTube and the invention of podcasting and the surgence in blogging, maybe now that we're 10 years down the line, they are established as mediums and somehow credible as mediums now, where they weren't 10 years ago. I too will be very interested to hear RTUK's thoughts after she's been on her conference. I hope that she gets more value out of the conference than she has to put into it, in terms of the cost of getting there and the cost of the ticket. Interesting question, Paul. Thank you for raising it. I like this kind of discussion that we can have on Audioboo, and particularly when a subject can be started and can be allowed to resonate around the community for a few days. That's the thing I'm not so keen about with February, is that there's a new topic every day, so that doesn't give the time for that discussion to resonate and sort of echo around the environment and the conversation to really develop. So I wish for an audio February where a new subject was raised every 3 days or something. I'm very sorry to have rambled on for so long. If anyone's carried on listening this far, thank you for listening on. I'll speak to you soon. Toodle-boo.